Morning, church. How many sense the presence of the Lord in the house in our worship? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Let's give the worship team a hand clap. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty, and there's freedom, surely, in the house this morning. I'd like to give a shout out to our other campuses, Pastor David at the Ghent campus and Pastor Joel at the Town Center campus and Pastor Melvin there in Deep Creek and our on-campus site, I should say, and that's Pastor Tina Davis. And just thank God again for being here. Thank God for being a part of this mental health series. I think it's timely. This is Mental Health Awareness Month, believe it or not. I don't think it's a mistake that the Lord led Pastor Dan to do this series. And this is the fourth of the series, and I believe the last as well. But we thank God for being here. I just thank God for being part of the mental health. That's part of my vocation. I've been trained as a counselor, and I've taken several. My undergraduate degree is in psychology. But today I'm here. The title of the message is Holy Spirit in Mental Wholeness. Holy Spirit in Mental Wholeness. Say mental wholeness. And I thank God for, as I said, counseling theories, counseling principles. I thank God for psychological and psychiatric the areas of study and science. And we take a holistic approach here, as Pastor laid out in the first of the series. But beyond the natural, there's the supernatural. And would you agree that without the Holy Spirit, everything else falls flat? It's only temporary. So today's focus is on Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit in mental wholeness. And I'm taking it from John 14, very familiar passage. This is where, leading up to this, Jesus is giving his disciples a preview of what's to come. And essentially, he's forecasting his death. He's telling them that I'm getting ready to depart. I'm getting ready to leave you. Now, this is after a short time of ministry. Revival had broken out. They had witnessed miracles and so many other things. And Jesus is laying this on them, perhaps at the height of ministry. And I would imagine, church, that they were so bewildered. They became oppressed, depressed, wondering what's going to happen to the movement, where God was moving in a mighty way, what was going to happen to them. Fear gripped their hearts. What's going to happen to their families? And here we find in John 14, he's giving them, I believe it's the first discourse on the Holy Spirit and how he was going to send the Spirit to accompany them. So if you go to John 14, starting at verse 16, and it reads, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another," say another, "Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Say in you. Prior to that, the Holy Spirit came up on them, but wasn't in them. Yet Jesus hadn't paid the price yet. There hadn't been redemption. But there was going to come a day that he was going to live on the inside of them. And this is significant. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now, I want to go back into that portion of Scripture. There's two words, another and comforter. Now, the Greek of another means allos, allos. And that's another of the same kind. Heteros is another of a different kind. Jesus said, "I'm going to send you another of the same kind." And the Greek for comforter is paraclete. Say that, paraclete. And that's one who comes alongside. So essentially what Jesus is telling them, he said, "I'm going to send one just like me. I'm going to send another, the same kind, the same power, the same authority. He's going to comfort you. He's going to counsel you. He's going to be your helper. So there's no need for you to be afraid." Now, it appears that the disciples, they just were not hearing that. They were stuck with the fact that Jesus was departing. That's what they were stuck at. So we fast forward down to verses 26 through 27. And Jesus essentially is repeating himself. He had need to. He said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall do what? Teach you all things. Say all things. And he's going to bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. And then this is what he declares over them. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now today is the fourth lesson in the Mental Wholeness series entitled, In the Back of a Cave. I love that title. Pastor Dan, in his first message, he highlighted the importance of the church taking a holistic approach in our care for those who are battling depression, social anxieties, and mental disorders. And I don't know about you, but I believe most of us could say that we've had mental challenges before. Would you say that? We've had issues that we had to wrestle with in our minds. And if you haven't been there, just keep living. Just keep living. You will experience it. Amen. In his second message, he reminded us that the grace of God is sufficient in helping us not only endure church, but to overcome our mental struggles. And then last week, Pastor Tina helped us understand how our thoughts and beliefs affect our lives, how the things that we process in our minds, how our perceptions, how our declarations, how our proclamations affect our lives. This Sunday, I want to focus on today's message on the role the Holy Spirit plays in forging pathways that bring us out of the cave. Say, out of the cave. Into a life of freedom and mental wholeness. How many of you know that Jesus paid a price for our freedom? Physically and mentally and emotionally. But before I talk about the connection between the Holy Spirit and mental wholeness, it's important that we understand two things. I told the church last night, I said, I sought the Lord more than three times concerning my mouth getting dry when I get up here and talk. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. So it's okay. The first thing, church, number one, mental wholeness is not an absence of mental challenges. Mental wholeness is not an absence of mental challenges, but it is about how well we manage our mind, our thoughts, our perceptions, our reasonings daily with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We must manage what comes through here. That's why we must manage and be careful what comes through our eye gate, what comes through our ear gate, because eventually it's the mind that's going to be affected. And church, the battlefield is where? In the mind. Now, number two, the mind is a primary portal. That's the primary opening that Satan uses to derail the plan of God. In Genesis 3, we see it at the beginning, where Satan's distortion of the truth led to the fall of Adam and Eve. He distorted the truth. And church, this didn't happen overnight. This happened over a series of time. We don't know how long. But you know, Satan worked on Eve a long time. Satan worked on Adam a long time to get them to disobey God's command. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they kept that, but Satan kept feeding them lies. Isn't that just like him? How many of you have experienced that? Satan will wear you down if you let him. Amen? He'll keep introducing, and if he doesn't work this way, he'll come another way. And guess what? If it doesn't work in year one, he'll wait you out for 30 and 40 years until he wears you down. You know why? Because he wants to destroy your destiny and your purpose in God. Can you say amen to that? Now, in Luke 4, 1 through 12, Satan attempted to deceive the second Adam, who's Jesus, in the wilderness by distorting the word of God again. There he is again. Distortion of the truth, distortion of the word of God. However, church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus overcame the temptation. How many of you know that Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost? That's an important point. Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost while he was being baptized by John. It said what? Heaven opened. A dove came down. Jesus was filled. And then at the beginning of Luke 4, it says Jesus, filled of the Holy Ghost, was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. And guess what? This time, Jesus overcame the temptations of the enemy. Why? Because the Holy Spirit strengthened him. The Holy Spirit gave him how to respond. It empowered him in that response. And Satan wasn't able to win there. You know what Jesus did when Satan told him, at the peak of his hunger, turn that stone into bread? What did Jesus say? It is written, Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He knew how to respond to him, and he came out a victor. Now, who is this Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is not, church, an impersonal force. He is the third person of the Trinity. He's a third person of the Godhead. He is not lesser than the Father. He's not lesser than the Son. He's the third part of the Godhead. And he deserves our reverence. He deserves our honor. He deserves our attention. Amen. Can you say amen to that? He has a mind, church. He has emotions. He has a voice. He speaks. And he has a will. He teaches. He guides. He convicts. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. He can be suppressed. But most important, church, he longs for our relationship. He longs for our relationship. Church, I'm going to say something, and it's going to sound trite. But as my wife and I were teaching, and we were growing in our connection and relationship with the Holy Spirit, I can remember when we were searching for a word to a word puzzle. I'm just trying to give you an example how everything that affects us, it affects him, or he's interested in everything that affects us. So I'm looking for this this word to the puzzle. It was the last word. My daughter Jade, it was time for her to go to bed, so she went. I said, but we're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us, which we did. The next day, I woke up, time for prayer. I wasn't really thinking about the word, but guess what? A word came to me. A word came to me for that puzzle. I had never seen the word church. And it was aquatic. So it had something to do with water. So I went to the dictionary and said, the Lord, the Spirit revealed the word. We were so excited. How many times have you enlisted the Holy Spirit to help you find keys? Come on now. How many times have you done it? You find keys in the refrigerator? You find keys in the cupboard? You find keys in places that you look three or four times, but you just dig a little deeper and you find the keys. Again, Holy Spirit is teaching us, hey, I love you. Everything that concerns you, it concerns me. Oh, church, when we first came here, in my first job at Regent University, I had my credit card stolen. And this person took my credit card and actually withdrew $800 from the bank account. $800 from the bank account. I get a call from the bank, said, do you still have your card? I said, evidently I don't. $800. But again, I enlisted the Holy Spirit. I said, okay. I said, Holy Spirit, would you help me to, I want you to convict this person that stole my card. And I want you to have them call me. Work on them all night. That's right. Work on them all night. I sick the Holy Spirit on them. Work on them all night. But this was the deal. I said, Lord, if you work on them and have them call me, I'll witness to them. I'll witness to them. That was the, kind of the deal I made. Again, church, this is not trite. This is part of our relationship, part of our inheritance. Okay, he said he's in us. Do you not know within a couple of days I got a phone call? My son answered the phone, hello. And he didn't know who it was. He said, Dad, someone is on the phone with you. I answered the phone. And you know what the young man said? He said, you're going to hate me. I said, hate you? Who are you? He was a young man. He was repenting that he had stolen. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's not only spiritual things. It's not only about my purpose and my destiny and my gifts. Everything that concerns us, he's interested in. And he's wanting to build a relationship. It's tangible. It's real. Let's not think of him as this impersonal force out there in yonder land. No, he's right here with us, walking with us daily, living on the inside of us. So today, very briefly, I want to share four ways that the Holy Spirit regulates the mind. I grew up in this small church, two small churches. One was Baptist, one was Pentecostal. But they would sing this song that he is a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Some of you heard that. He's a heart fixer and a mind regulator. So I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit regulates our mind. The Holy Spirit is like a thermostat. And we need someone. Every day, the enemy is working on us. But when we have the Holy Spirit, he shows us how to respond. He regulates and brings down the temperature. When we get hot under the collar because someone said something, then the Holy Spirit comes. Oh, wait, bring that back. We catch an attitude or we think the wrong thoughts. The Holy Spirit is there to regulate those thoughts if we give him time. Amen. The first thing, the Holy Spirit gravitates to the broken. He gravitates. He's attracted to those who are hurting. He's attracted to those who are rejected. He loves those who need his help. And most importantly, who pursue his help. So the first thing is the Holy Spirit is a comforter. He comes to comfort us. Say, he comes to comfort us. He enters in, church, into our pain. Say, pain. Anybody know what it means to be in pain emotionally or mentally? And have the Holy Spirit come in and refresh us. Like this morning, as we begin to worship, the Holy Spirit comes and it's a refreshing spirit in the house. He comes to comfort. We see the Holy Spirit at work throughout the Old Testament. In Kings 19, Holy Spirit ministered to Elijah during his season of depression. In Samuel, we see the Holy Spirit refresh the mind of Saul, who was being tormented by an evil spirit. The Holy Spirit came, and he came because David, a man of God, anointed minstrel, will begin to play. And the Holy Spirit would come, and that evil spirit that was on Saul would be driven away. That's the work of the Spirit. And that's why anointed worship is so important. And I want to say today was anointed worship. The presence of God was here. So if you came in depressed, you came in down, it's hard for you to stay in that space. Amen? Because guess what? Depression doesn't coexist when the glory of God comes into the place. Amen? That's why I encourage you to put on that worship music in your cars and in your homes. It displaces it. Now, that is not saying that that spirit won't come and grip our hearts again. But it's just telling us, God, there's hope. And when I need refreshment, I know where to go. Holly, when I need to be encouraged, I know where to go. And if I can get myself in the presence of God, everything's going to be all right. Amen. As the saints would say, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. That's what the Spirit of God would do in us when we're hopeless. It gives us a feeling that, oh, this too will pass in time. And then we have Psalm 51, where David, out of everything, he could have said, Lord, don't take my status and my kingship away from me. Don't take my family away. Don't take my money away. But when he sinned, he begged God. He said, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Whatever you do, I need your spirit. I need your presence. Why? Because as long as the presence of God is with us, he's going to manage our minds. He's going to take care of whatever is needed. He's going to give me and keep may help me maintain a sound mind. Now, Jesus here, in his efforts to encourage his weary disciples, he told them, now, I'm going to send the paraclete. He's a comforter. He's a helper. He's an advocate. He's an intercessor. He's a friend. He's a consoler. He's a guide. That word paraclete is a rich word. And again, that's why I chose the King James version. It's a comforter. But I believe the New International Version, it says advocate. And others, again, counselor and consoler. It's just rich. Essentially, he's saying he's going to be a helper. And whatever you need, the Holy Spirit is going to provide it. I love this statement made by Jean Vanier. He's a Canadian Catholic theologian. And it says, every time we look after a person in need and answer their cry, we become paracletes. We become paracletes. Jesus was a paraclete for his disciples. The paraclete is given to those who are lonely and need the presence of a friend, to those who are lost and poor in spirit and who cry out for God. Again, just think of yourself, the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And he's wanting to use us, church, every day. He's looking. He said, I indwell my people. He's wanting to use you to come alongside. Say, come alongside someone to be there to aid them, to comfort them. I'm so reminded of a time in my life in ministry. And around 2007, there was a woman who came to me for counseling. And as a pastor, you know, I'm sure, of course, I will counsel you. But I was thinking maybe three or four sessions, and then, you know, I would pray for her, and okay, she would be fine. That wasn't the case. She needed more. And given her situation, she emotionally, she was spent. She was broken. She had been abused as a child, abused as an adult, even in her marriage. I've never seen a person more shattered emotionally. And she was a believer. She loved God. And again, my response was, okay, I want to refer her out to someone who I felt had better skills, greater skills to help her. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm going to entrust my daughter into your hands. I'm going to entrust my daughter into your hands. I didn't initially know what that was, but I found out quickly. Essentially, what he was saying is, you're going to continue to counsel her until she gets a breakthrough. I counseled her for 3 months, and I would come faithfully every other week here in this place, in my office. And I would sit, and I would listen, I would sit, and I would listen, and she would cry, and she would pour her heart out and share, you know, what was her anguish and her pain. Church, before long, something happened in that counseling room. But first, I had to yield and say, Lord, yes. And, you know, I didn't use, it wasn't appropriate in this case. The Lord wasn't going to work through counseling or psychological principles or techniques. You know what the Lord said? I want you just to listen. Be there. Show up every other week and listen. And listen. And as I was faithful, before long, I would say 3 or 4 months into it, there was the presence of God would meet us every session. Every session. And then word of knowledge and word of wisdom began to come forth. Prophetic. She began to speak in tongues, be released. Again, so I began to see a change in a movement. And after 6 months, still she was coming because, again, there was movement in her heart. Do you not know? Although I couldn't stop the sessions, she came to me after over a year's time of counseling, said, now I believe I've been delivered and it's time to move on. The Holy Spirit moved. The Holy Spirit was faithful to move in those sessions to the point, church, where I even began to enjoy. I didn't know what the Holy Spirit was going to do. Trent, I didn't know. I would come, brother, with the anticipation of, I don't know what's going to happen today. Amen. I was just being used. I was a paraclete of sorts. There simply to listen and watch him work his will and his anointing in that woman's life. And I give God thanks today for even that story because I could have walked away and said, no, this is too much time. And it was during a time where I was becoming very busy. I was teaching at TCC. I was doing the work of the LEC, which was growing. I was pastoring. So I didn't think I had the time to do it. But the Lord said, yes, you do. In essence, he said, this is my priority here for your life. This is my priority. This woman is valuable to me. And I want to use you to bring her out of the cave. Hallelujah. And surely the Lord and the Spirit of God brought her out of the cave. Number two, Holy Spirit teaches us. Say he teaches. He's a great teacher. Hallelujah. He can teach through folks who are anointed to teach and folks who are not anointed to teach, but he can teach in many different ways. How many of you have the Lord spoken to and taught you something by a license plate? Isn't it true? You're driving and you need a word from the Lord. And there's a scripture verse that comes upon a license plate and you go read that and say, God, I can't believe it. License plate. So, you know, Holy Spirit can use anything. Don't discount anything. He uses even a license plate. It can have a little sand on it. And for that day, it becomes a rhema from God. Now, It's so important in teaching. The Word of God is the primary source of His instruction. That's important. The Word of God. Not prophecy, but the Word of God is His primary source of instruction. And what the Holy Spirit does, church, is He takes the Logos. Now, how many of you, we read the Word of God? Okay, that's the written word, the Greek word, Logos. And He turns it. The Holy Spirit turns it into what we call Rhema. Say Rhema. Rhema is the alive word. Hallelujah. That's when you're in trouble or when you have a situation and you need illumination and you need counsel and you need counsel from the Word of God. He'll pluck or illuminate His word, and all of a sudden He can speak it out of the blue or however He decides to do it, but it becomes refreshing for us. It becomes the answer to our prayer. He uses it to soothe. He uses it to heal. He uses it to instruct us. That's called Rhema word, the alive word of God, the illuminated word of God. Several years ago, many years ago, actually it's about 40 years ago, that's more than many. I love giving this testimony, and my mother has released me several times to give it. My mother suffered from clinical depression. She was depressed, church, for 7 years, and I'm going to use this as an example of the power of God's word. Oh, she was in a dark place. She cried. She all she wanted to do was sleep. And church, it became so heavy that she even tried to take her life. Now, I was a young kid. I was a teenager, and I can remember getting the phone call. My mother's in the hospital, hopeless, not wanting to live anymore. And let me say this, church. The worst thing that we can say to a person who's depressed is to get over it. Or the worst thing we can say to a person, why are you depressed? You got a good husband. You have great children. You got a great home. You got a great life. Why are you depressed? That's the worst thing we can say. Worst thing we can say, they don't know why, oftentimes, why they're in that condition. They just know that it's in a dark place. They just know that it's in the back of a cave. And God, if somehow you can get me out of this place and fast. And she was counseled. She went to therapists, spent a lot of money. And she became so desperate, church, someone told her that she had been bewitched. Told her that someone had put a spell on her. And then said, if you give me this large sum of money, I'll take it off. Well, in the meantime, the great Holy Spirit was at work. There came a tipping point in her life and seemingly a tipping point in heaven. And the tipping points collided. And what happened is one night she went to bed and she was falling off to sleep. And she heard an audible voice, not the still small voice, Pastor Jeremy. She heard an audible voice. So the Holy Spirit can speak. He has a voice. And He said, Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. She didn't have a clue what that was saying. You know what it said? It said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. So she shook herself and still, she was bewildered. She said, well, Lord, what do I need to do? How do I do this? Now, this is a woman who grew up in the church. How many know that we can grow up in the church and still don't know how to pursue God? She was around church. Loved church. Member of a church. Ministered in a church. But when He said that, she was bewildered. Well, what do I do? What do I do? Well, guess what? When we don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit's job is to show us what to do. So in time, what happened was she was still in this dark place, and she was in the living room, still searching, still wondering, Lord, how am I, what is wrong with me? She went to the door, and she looked up in the heavens. Again, she's searching. And another audible voice came, salvation is free. You don't have to pay for your deliverance. A way has already been made for your deliverance. But not only that, the spirit knocked her back, twirled her around, and broke the spirit of depression right on the spot. He broke that chain. He broke that spirit of hopelessness. And when you fast forward this, she's 86. She just turned 86 last month. And every time she shares this testimony, the tears just begin to flow. Every time she shares the testimony, her hands go up. Every time she shares the testimony, she begins to declare the goodness and the kindness and the greatness of her God. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit and God himself came and delivered her from the spirit of depression. How many know that God is a deliverer? How many know that the Spirit is at work, and even in our midst today, the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring some of you to a new place. And it may not happen overnight, but in the fullness of time, if you keep hoping, if you keep pursuing, if you keep praying, if you keep worshiping, God's going to deliver you. Hallelujah. Now, God can use counseling. He can use therapy. But bottom line, it's going to take the Holy Spirit to break the yoke. It's going to take the rhema word of God to break the yoke. Hallelujah. And then if we begin to rehearse what the Spirit of God has said, if we begin to rehearse what the Word of God has said, and we bring ourselves into alignment, I believe there will be a shift in your life. Amen? And as I said, I emphasize we are holistic. But let's not discount the power of the Holy Spirit to break the yoke and to move us forward. Number three, the Holy Spirit intercedes. Say intercedes. The Holy Spirit prays. We have Jesus at the right hand of the Father praying, Pastor Jeremy. And we have the Holy Spirit here. Let me say this. The Holy Spirit's assignment is here on earth. The Holy Spirit's assignment is on the inside of us. Amen. That's an important truth that we really need to get a hold of and understand. He's with us. Wherever we go, he's with us. This is what the Word of God said in Romans 8. 26, it said, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Say weakness. We don't know how. We don't know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf. The Word said with sighs and groanings, too deep for words. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I love the Message Bible. He puts it like this. He said, if we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? So it's not that the Spirit is groaning. He's taking our groanings. How many of you know what it means to groan and to sigh? You're at your wit's end, and you don't even have words to articulate what it is that you're feeling. Amen. But the Spirit knows, and he takes those groans, and he puts words to those groans and those aches, and he presents that before the Father, and he does it according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Now, is that not exciting? You have the Holy Spirit taken. Even when you're quiet sometimes, you can't say a word. You don't even know what to say. The anguish is so great. But I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit knows what to say. He knows how to say it, and he knows how to say it in a way that your Father understands exactly what it is. And do you not know that God answers Holy Spirit's prayer? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Four, Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome mental strongholds. Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome mental strongholds. These are fortresses built in our minds over time. It's even like I call it spiritual plaque. Spiritual plaque, that's what a stronghold is. The lies of the evil one. The negative self-talk. Rotten perceptions, wrong perceptions. Paranoia. Thinking people hate us. When a lot of times it's self-hate that's being projected out there. God wants to bring by his Spirit those things down. And it says the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. But they are enriched by the power of the Holy Spirit to demolish. Say demolish. To demolish strongholds. These are ungodly thoughts. Anybody have any ungodly thoughts? Anyone here but me? I have some company here. Out there online, I have some company. Ungodly thoughts. What about ungodly reasonings, philosophies, belief systems? They defame God and His Word. Those beliefs, those are strongholds. They don't agree with the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit demolishes, He destroys those things in our lives. And through that, we're free to be who God created us to be, church. I want to say this. A lot of times as pastors, you look at us and you think we got everything. You know, we cross the I's. No, we dot the I's, don't we? I really do have a problem. We dot the I's and we cross the T's. Well, guess what? There are times when certain thoughts come through my head that I wonder. I don't even want to own them. I said, Lord, that's me? Really? That thought? That desire? That's me? Yeah. That's why I thank God for the blood of Jesus. I don't stress over it because I'm the righteousness of God through and in Christ Jesus. However, let me say this. I still must deal with those. I can't let those go. The Lordship, don't let that go. Every day, there needs to be mind maintenance. Say mind maintenance. Sister Brenda, is that not true? There must be mind maintenance. But it must be done under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And when certain thoughts are coming that are not like God, they don't agree with God, they don't agree with His Word, I must check and say, not so. I renounce it. I kick it out. I don't receive that. And guess what? If we refuse to do that over a period of time, guess what's going to happen? Say a year, 2 years later, you've done something or you've said something and you say, how did I get in this place? Part of it because we haven't dealt with the mind. And it's been like a garden where there's weeds all over the place. And we're oblivious. We're walking around still singing and praising, but the mind have weeds growing in it. Church, let me say this. The Spirit wants to deal with our weeds. And as we allow the Spirit to deal with our weeds, the Lord is going to bring us into a whole nother realm of freedom and deliverance. Do you believe that? Say amen to that. I want to end with what is called an acrostic or a mnemonic, something that will help you remember at least some of what I said today or shared today. The first is, make your relationship with the Holy Spirit a priority. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Invite the Holy Spirit to renew your mind daily. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Navigate life with the Holy Spirit as your captain. Romans 8:6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, church. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And finally, the D in mind, if you didn't pick it up yet. Decide to partner with the Holy Spirit in prayer. I can't think of a better partner. I can't think of a better partner than the Holy Spirit. Decide to partner with Him in prayer. Philippians 4:6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray. Say pray. Say pray again. Pray about everything, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. But not only will He guard your hearts, He will guard your mind. He'll put a fortress. He'll put a fence around your mind. Amen. I thank God that there's a way out of the cave, church. There's a way out of the cave. There's a way out of the back of the cave. And let me say that, as I said, God can do it in a split second. But oftentimes, church, there's a process. In the process of time, and He'll send individuals to minister to you. In that time, He will select individuals specifically to deal with your issues. And in the fullness of time, you will have a testimony of God's grace, God's love, God's healing power that will bring glory to Him. Would you stand with me? As Pastor Jeremy comes, can we just lift our hands? Father, we give you thanks. Can we thank Him? Thank Him for the word. Can we thank Him for a sound mind? Thank Him for freedom. Can we lift our voices in praise and worship? God, I thank you for being here today. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit who you sent to minister to me, to come alongside me, to help me, to counsel me, to console me, to guide me, to pray for me. And I receive Him in a fresh new way into my heart, into my life, into my spirit. And I, this morning, yield myself to Holy Spirit in a new way. And I will bless Him. Let's bless the Lord today. Hallelujah.
I pray that you met the Holy Spirit, even in the hearing of today's word. And I know that He is with you no matter where you are, and we are with you too. Stay connected to us. I hope you filled out a connect card if you're visiting for the first time. And if you haven't, you can go to newlife.global and say, hey, we've been checking you out and we want someone to reach out to us. If we can pray for you, newlife.global. We have prayer teams and every pastor will pray for those requests that come in. We want to stay connected to you. Follow us on our Facebook page, Instagram, and you can join our online group. Jump in if you want to volunteer. We just want to immerse you in being part of the New Life family online. And as you saw about Imagine, that's not just for the campuses, brick and mortar. There's going to be an expression of our family ministry online for you as well. So stay tuned and make sure you have the New Life app, because so much of that can happen right through that device. We love you. We bless you. And I want to pray for you before I go. Bow your heads right now, wherever you are. Father, we love you. We honor you. And we say thank you. We thank you that you're no respecter of person. We thank you that your spirit is alive in us when we know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And your spirit is assigned, is working in us to lead us to truth, to comfort us, to bring peace to us, and remind us of the things of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we bless you today. We honor you. And we ask that you would stay empowered in our lives, that we would not try to do life alone, but we would engage the power of your Spirit in us, that we would be overcomers because of a Father that loves us, a Savior that died for us, and a Holy Spirit that empowers and enables us to overcome each and every scenario. God, I pray that your people would walk in that kind of victory and mindset. So as we go our own way, I declare that your people are blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming in, and blessed going out. That this would be the best week yet, and they would know your goodness every step of the way. Let us share your light to everyone that we come in contact with this week. We love you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, and we'll see you guys online and next week.